Genesis, the book of beginnings. And for the last several chapters, I have made a decision that the best way to go forward is to go backward. So I want you to turn back from where we've been the last few weeks to the 37th chapter. As we look at the last one-fourth of the book of Genesis, the greater part of it is about the life of Joseph. So over the next couple of 3 weeks, I want to give you some principles that we learn, some practical principles, something that you can apply tonight and in days to come, some practical principles that we learn from the life of Joseph. And then when I've completed that, then we'll do just a quick overview of these last several chapters and bring to a conclusion our study in the book of Genesis. So tonight I want to go backward because I want to begin with what we know about Joseph and share the first seven principles. Mike was right. You basically have what I'm going to say tonight on the front of the handout, and you could probably read it quicker than I'm going to preach it. But if you get through before I do, be real quiet leaving, if you will. Genesis chapter 37, verse 1. Jacob lived in the land of his father, sojournings, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wife. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. We've already gone far enough, even into the 41st and 2nd and 3rd chapter, to realize that Jacob was revered by his father, rejected by his family, and then ruled by God's providence in his life. We have seen Joseph as he has been trusted by Potiphar and tempted by Potiphar's wife and turned out and placed in the prison cell. We've watched God test him providentially and perfectly and prayerfully so that he was pleasing to the Father. But I wanted to go back and give you these principles because it's one thing to read historically accurate passages of Scripture. It's something entirely different to make them applicable for our lives hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later. So rather than just a history story about Jacob and his son Joseph, let me give you tonight the first of about 20-plus principles, and I'll give you the first seven. The first principle that we learn in the life of Joseph, and we learn it very quickly, is that being born into a dysfunctional family is no reason to fail in your life. I mentioned that briefly a couple of 3 weeks ago, but you have to think through where we have been. Jacob was called the trickster. Jacob cheated his brother Esau out of the birthright. Jacob was what we would call today a scoundrel for the greater part of his life. Late in life, he found God. The 28th chapter of Genesis is where the ladder ascended and descended, and God met Jacob at a place called Bethel. Later in the 30 chapters, he found him again when he returned to that place and wrestled with an angel for the duration of the night and called the place El Bethel, meaning the house of God and the God of the house. So Jacob took a long while to find and follow God. And while that's a wonderful thing to find and follow God, some dies had already been set. Some parameters had already been broken. Some principles had already been neglected. And sometimes it's good when parents find God in the latter stages of their teenagers' years, and yet it's hard to undo what's been done. It's hard to go back and change what has been a habit a long while. We ought to try to break the chains. We ought to try to recover and restore. We ought to do the very best we can all the days that we have children under our hand and in our home. And yet sometimes the neglect of several years shows up when seriously we simply reap what we've sown. In the case of Jacob, unfortunately, though he found God, though he was a changed man, though his name became Israel at a later date, Jacob is beginning to reap a good bit of what he has sown. So Joseph has a father who has had four wives. Of the four wives, there have been 12 sons born. Of the last wife, Rachel, there was Joseph and Benjamin. Benjamin was the youngest, Joseph the next to the youngest of 12. Joseph was loved by his father Jacob, so much so that the other brothers saw it, felt it, knew it. It turned them against Joseph, and so he's hated by 10 of his 11 brothers. Only Benjamin loving him and seeing him for who he is. He tells about his dreams. We've talked about that. He tells about his brothers bowing down before him. And then ultimately he tells them that even the stars, they're going to bow down before me. The world is going to know who I am to the exclusion of who you are. And all of these things put in the mixing pot of life and stirred up brings a dysfunctionality to this family unlike many things that we've ever even heard about. Oh, I know somebody in the room tonight could say, if you knew how my father treated me, if you knew how my mother treated me, if you knew the unspeakable that happened when I was a child, if you knew what I have been through, you'd know why I am like I am today. And many people and many professed Christians use the past to destroy the present and to disarm us for the future. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God wants you to get past your past, that there is grace sufficient for you to forget what has gone on before and press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm here to tell you that there are two days that ruin today, and one of them is yesterday and guilt about it, and the other is tomorrow and worry about it. And I'm saying to you tonight that a lot of folks who are totally and completely bound in the bondage of their yesterdays need to lay those yesterdays down at the foot of the cross, yield them totally and completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let them be overwhelmed with His blood, covered by His mercy, and let God take your yesterday and hide it behind His back so that it is never discussed or thought of again, and then get on with today and tomorrow and the days that you have left. When you look at the life of Joseph, if anyone in the Bible ever had a right to stand up and say, I can't be who I need to be, and I can't do what I need to do because of my past, because of the dysfunctionality in my family, I am robbed from being God's man and doing God's work. If anybody could have said that, Joseph could have. But I repeat my principle that you have there before you. Being born into a dysfunctional family is no reason to fail. Because if God is your heavenly Father, He's perfect. If Christ is your personal Savior, He's perfect in all of his ways. And if the Holy Spirit indwells you, he is the perfect Spirit of the living God. And your first family is not in charge any longer. You have a new family. Your Father's holy and perfect and pure. The Lord Jesus is perfect and pure in all of his ways, and the Holy Spirit makes no mistakes and leads and guides us into truth. If you will rely on that family, you can put whatever happened in the other family behind you and press on. Now, you may be saying tonight, but Pastor, that never happened to you. No, I had a fairly good raising. But it did happen to Joseph, and he's who we're talking about. And I'm looking at Joseph, and Joseph's character was flawless, and Joseph's integrity was high and lofty, and Joseph's work ethic was good, and Joseph stood his ground, and repeatedly through these next two chapters, you're going to hear, and the Lord was with Joseph. So if I'm just talking to one person, if I'm just talking to one person in this room tonight, would you look at me and would you listen to me for a second? Stop blaming your past and start trusting your God. And when you do that, everything is going to change. Break the chains. Give it up. It's not what has happened, it's what could happen that ought to drive you in your service to God. And the second principle I want us to look at is that a parent's love is priceless. I know that this love perhaps caused some of the issues, but you see the wording that Israel loved Joseph. A parent's love is priceless. Why did he love Joseph? Well, he's the son of his old age. He made him a coat, not a short-sleeved, but a long-sleeved coat, indicating nobility, indicating wealth and honor and privilege and position. And when Joseph was presented the coat of many colors, it was a token of the father's great love for him. And I know how the other brothers felt, but leave them out of your mind for a moment. One of the best things that Joseph ever had going for him was the love of his father. Jacob's not perfect. In fact, no earthly father is. Jacob had to raise Joseph on his own because Rachel had died when Benjamin was born. But the truth is, Jacob loved him. Every person in this room needs to take time every day to think about the love of family and the love of those who care so much for you that they're willing to love you in spite of instead of because of. But if Joseph was loved by his father, how much more are we loved by our Father? Our Heavenly Father, in spite of us, in spite of who we are, even though we may be hated by others, there's one thing I know, and I know without a doubt, my God loves me. And I can love Him because He first loved me. He taught me how to love. He taught me how to forgive. He taught me how to live in such a way that I did not become a hater, but rather a lover of those who love Him. So write that principle down in your heart and be thankful for the fact that your Heavenly Father loves you, and then know this for sure, that many others do also, and that's what ought to drive us and motivate us. The third principle is this: people may dismiss your dreams, but dream on. Here's what I want to say about that, and you know what his dreams were. They were prophetic dreams. He was dreaming about what was going to happen. he was dreaming about a famine and a deliverance that God was going to give them. He was dreaming about how God was going to raise him to a place of power and prestige so he could live out the Christ life before those who even hated him. People are going to dismiss your dreams too. There's probably not much in this world that hurts any more than for someone you really care about to laugh at what you believe to be God's will or God's way for your life. I can remember through the years, and I don't remember with such discouragement that it bothers me, but I can remember through the years sharing my heart with somebody I thought would really embrace that and come alongside me and say, I'm so happy and I'm so full of joy. And when I've seen jealousy and envy, and when I've seen misunderstanding, and when I've seen misappropriation of the information that I've given, and when it's been shared in a wrong kind of way, it's a hurtful thing. So you can only imagine how Joseph must have felt. God gave him the vision. His brothers laughed at him and scoffed at him for the thing that God gave to him. Now let me just put this in perspective. God does a mighty work in your life in this room tonight. He calls some young man to preach. He calls somebody to a life of dedication. He finally answers your prayers about the big decision that you've been facing. He heals your body of some terrible set of circumstances. He does a great work in you here tonight. And don't say, well, Pastor, could that? It could happen. God's still a miracle-working God. And so just imagine if God were to do something so marvelous in this place tonight, we'd all just have to get on our faces, not our knees, but our faces before him and just praise him for that. And then you walk out of here and you walk into home and you try to describe that. And somebody says, I'm watching a TV program. Can it wait? Or somebody says, oh, I don't believe in that sort of thing. And you go to work tomorrow and you say, I need to tell you what great thing God's done for me. And it's your fishing buddy or it's your shopping buddy. It's somebody that you know well and you think they're going to be happy about something good. And all of a sudden, that which is in your heart is stomped on, stepped on. That's where Joseph was in this set of circumstances. God gave him a dream, and his brothers did the best they could to steal it from him. Well, I want to tell you something tonight. Dream on. There may be those who do not believe in you, but God does. There may be those who will not believe you, but God does. And there may be those whom God wants to, are you listening, separate from you. And if they won't buy God's will for your life, you don't need them hanging around with their negative attitude. You say, but what if, I'm going to say it again. When God speaks to you, if there are those who refuse to believe that God has spoken, they do not need to bring you down. Look for folks who will lift you up. Number four. One that I think probably hits 100% of all of us. Betrayal is painful, especially when it comes from someone you love. And I'll just say it this way. If it's somebody that I don't love and they don't love me, it doesn't bother me in the least bit if they betray me. But the more I love a person and the more I thought they loved me, the greater the pain of betrayal. And if you were to be honest tonight, and I were to say, in the scope of your lifetime, have you ever been betrayed by a loved one or a friend? I would imagine the great, great majority, if not all of us, would have to say, oh yes. And when I remember that, though it is years ago, when I remember that, I still have a hurt in my heart. Betrayal is a painful thing, especially when it comes from someone you love. Now, let me tell you about Joseph. Lest you say nobody was ever betrayed like I've been, let me tell you about Joseph. They were going to kill him, his brothers. But they decided rather than killing him and having nothing to show for it, they'd sell him and have money. They sold him to the Ishmaelites. They took him on their caravan over into Egypt. It didn't stop there. They took his coat of many colors, which the father had made for him, and dipped it in animal's blood. With no DNA back then, blood was blood. And so when they took the coat home and said to their father, Jacob, this is your son's coat, is it not? Yes, it is. That's blood on it, is it not? Yes, it is. We found this coat. And Jacob thought that his son had been killed by wild beast. So not only is Joseph betrayed by his brothers, Jacob, their father, is terribly betrayed by his sons. Betrayal never stops with one. It spreads. It's contagious. It impacts, influences, and affects more than just the betrayed. There's always somebody else who gets hurt in the set of circumstances. And to be honest with you, it's normally hurting people that hurt people. Do you hear what I said? It's hurting people that hurt people. His brothers were hurt. It's because they didn't accept God's will and God's way as they ought to have. And they were hurt that the father loved Joseph, and they were hurt that Joseph told them about the dream. And so if I'm hurt, I want to make sure you're hurt. And that's how a lot of folks feel. And since I'm hurting, I'm going to hurt you. And since I feel betrayed, I'm going to betray you. And betrayal has a way of destroying not just one or two, but families and friends and friendships. Betrayal's painful. The fifth principle is that God's ways are not our ways. How could Joseph have ever known when his hands were tied behind him and he was thrown onto a caravan and hauled off to Egypt and sold as a slave? How could he have ever known what God was up to? How could he have ever imagined? And don't you think he may have thought, my dreams have just gone up in smoke. My hopes have been dashed. What I thought was going to happen can never happen now. I'm a slave. And then I'm in prison. And then I'm a servant at Potiphar's house. And now I've been falsely accused. And I'm back in jail for the second time. My dreams have been dashed. I have been betrayed. What could God possibly be up to? In our Bible study this morning and staff meeting, we addressed the fact that God often sends his children into the storm so that he can be glorified in the storm with them. How could Joseph have ever known that what God was up to was to take somebody from the pit to the palace, from being betrayed to being sovereignly used, from brothers who hated him to brothers who could not live without him in the latter stages? I want you to listen to this tonight. The first four things that I shared with you are relatively painful reminders of where some of us have found ourselves in our lives. But number five needs to be etched upon your heart and mind. God's ways are not our ways. God knows what he's doing. God makes no mistakes. And if you're in a storm, you've just come through a storm, or you're about to go into a storm, I want you to know that the God who puts his children in the midst of the fiery furnace does not stand by and watch. He climbs into the fiery furnace with them, and there is fellowship in the fire. I want you to know that the God who puts his children on the boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee and they are in the midst of a storm does not stay on the mountain and watch down to them. He walks on the water and he comes to them in the middle of the storm. And I want you to know his ways are not our ways. His ways are past finding out. Number six, the darkest times won't last forever. Jacob is home weeping. His beloved son is dead. At least he thinks so. Joseph is in prison, thinking that any moment his life could be taken. Dark times. Dark times. And when we are in those places, we cannot see the light. We cannot see the end. We cannot imagine a good outcome. But be sure, if you're God's child tonight, that the darkest times do not last. Good news is coming, Jacob. Just hang on. God's going to use you, Joseph. Just be patient. Maybe that's what Isaiah meant when he said, wait on the Lord, and he will renew your strength. You'll mount up with wings of eagles. You'll run and not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. God's not in a hurry. He's got all eternity. Just wait on him. Your dream will come to pass. Better days are coming. It's going to turn out all right. And some of you are going to say, well, Pastor, I believed that once, but then my prayer wasn't answered and my loved one passed away. Well, maybe your prayer was answered and your loved one was healed. The greatest healing that can possibly come to the child of God is to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Well, Pastor, I believed that one time and yet my prayer wasn't answered, but maybe it was. Or maybe you prayed amiss that you might consume it on your own lust. And maybe it's a good thing God did not do what you asked him to do. Do you remember what Ruth Graham said about her husband, Billy? Ruth Graham said, had God answered all of my prayers, I'd have been married seven times before Billy ever came along. But God chose to make me wait on the right person. God's delays are not God's denials. God's delays are often in the very best interest of God's children. His ways are not our ways, and the darkest times won't last forever. Jacob is going to shout, and Joseph is going to reign. And how do I know that? Well, because I've read the last chapter. And let me tell you something. I'm going to shout, and Jesus is going to reign. And you want to know how I know that? Because I've read the last chapter. It gets better. Dark days don't last forever. And let me close by just one sentence. God, and only God, God can take you from the pit to the palace in the twinkling of an eye, in the snap of a finger, because God has all this in his control. So if you feel like you're in the pit tonight, hang on and hold out faithful. God can take you from the pit to the palace in one word. He's God. We're not. He knows best, and he'll do best, and better times are yet to come. Dream on for what God places in your heart. He will bring to pass in your life. Trust him. He's worthy of your trust. Let's stand together. Mike and I'll be here just for a moment. As Rhonda plays just a little bit. Assume it's Rhonda back there. It is. Rhonda will play a couple of verses and Mike and I'll be here. If we can pray with you or help you in any way, we'll be glad to do that.